This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's hour number two. Thanks for joining us. Wake Up Call SportsMap Radio coming up this hour. The NBA draft is tonight. We'll go through some of the top selections and who the overwhelming number one favorite to be picked by Detroit is. We'll also discuss an interesting story about Reggie Bush. As you know, he had his Heisman Trophy taken away, but now the whole landscape of the NCAA is changing. And now, you know, it was a thought like, well, can we get Reggie Bush's Heisman back since we're kind of all in agreement that these rules were all stupid to begin with? Well, they came up with a little bit of a decision on that, and we've got that for you, too. But the Texas-Oklahoma situation is getting more and more interesting. Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner of the Big 12, has issued a letter to ESPN saying, stop tampering with this. And basically accusing the network of saying, kind of putting in some tentacles in the process, possibly, you know, colluding to get those conferences to go to the SEC. He's sort of grasping at some straws here, and I don't blame him. If you're the commissioner of something that is dying, I always wonder about this with CEOs that are like running businesses that are just going to go out of business eventually, right? Or just things aren't going to be working out, how they try to save it. You know, you try to hanging on to old technology. You're really hoping that in the end you can get people to be interested, but the trend is moving in another direction. And that's unfortunately kind of similar to where Bob Bowlesby is. Think being the CEO of Blockbuster in its final days, right? It's same thing here. He's lost his two marquee teams, his two marquee programs. And he's trying to salvage a league, a conference, where now it looks like other schools are just going to jump ship and be like, fine, I can't be around this anymore. Let me go somewhere else where I can be part of a larger pie and make just as much money than this thing that's not going to be around because Texas and Oklahoma are not around. So he's hanging on for dear life, and he's throwing this accusatory comment or this letter basically saying that ESPN needs to cool it on there, how they've infiltrated this process. I don't think it's going to stand. I think this is, again, a desperate situation for the Big 12. But how the SEC is going to vote, and when will this come about? We got that for you coming up as we continue with Wake Up Call at SportsMap Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio as we continue along. I do feel bad for the Big 12, but this is the way business works now, right? I mean, this is the way that this wide openness of college athletics has led to this. These schools can read the writing on the wall. They know where the bread is buttered. They know where they can go to better off their brand and make even more money than they're at. And that's just the way it is. It's sort of, there isn't a traditional feel anymore to college athletics, which it always had counted on for years and years. But we've seen it sort of chip away with every new decision that comes its way. The old, long time thinking just lends itself to a new way of doing business, right? You know, we've talked about this many times with it when it comes to the way college football for decades, right, always treated its bowl tie-in to its level of success, right? A national championship, my God, well, if they just want to award us that, that's fine. But if you were in the SEC back in the 50s and the 60s, like the Sugar Bowl was a big deal. That's the one you wanted to win. Same thing when you were in the Big Ten and the Pac-10 back in the day. The Rose Bowl, right? That was it. You wanted to go to the Rose Bowl. And if in the end, a couple of voters, a couple of guys with votes want to say that you're the national champion, well, that's just an added bonus. But that's not really what you can control, right? It was, we control to get to this bowl game, and we are going to be the champion of that bowl game, whether it's the Cotton Bowl, whether it's the Sugar Bowl, whether it's the Rose Bowl, right? It was, we wanted to win that. And then when we won that, that's how we felt we were the championship. So what happened? Right. Well, little tiny business things came into college football. And then he said, well, you know, winning the Sugar Bowl is a big deal. But, you know, we could actually have a conference championship game. We could just settle it right here amongst ourselves. And you'd be like, oh, well, that's kind of cool. Do we get money for doing that? Yes, we do. Oh, well, let's do that then. Right. Same thing with the tradition of the bowls. We can't have a playoff. Are you saying that's crazy? A playoff? What are you talking about? Don't you like the bowl system? Look at all these games. Look at the fact that all of these schools get to have one more chance. And, you know, maybe going 7-6 is not the greatest record in the world, but you can win a bowl game and feel proud of yourself. Isn't that awesome? And then they went, well, a playoff, that'll be kind of cool if we do four teams, just four. Will we make any money on this? Yes, we will. Oh, okay, let's do that now. It's the same thing here. You know, you want to be, don't you want to be a part of a conference that kind of represents our region and our area? I mean, look at you, Texas, with all the other Texas schools that are in this conference. TCU, Baylor, Texas Tech. We used to have Texas A&M until they left. Well, you know, don't you love being this, you know, Midwestern part of the country, owning kind of in this, not really, and they're gone. And Oklahoma said, well, fine, we'll go with you. Now, both of them in 2025 will be gone. This is how it's going to work now. It came down yesterday or day before. Texas and Oklahoma said, hey, we now admit that we want to go to the SEC. We need an invitation. So if you guys wouldn't mind voting to offer us an invitation. And oh, by the way, we're going to go in 2025 if that's okay with you. So this is a little awkward, right? It's like asking a divorce but living in the house for a few more years. Like, oh, okay, I guess. Do we have to share the same bathroom? So you're the Big 12. You got to entertain these two very powerful entities within your conference, knowing that in a couple of years they're going to say goodbye. That is going to be weird to think about all the games that are going to be big in that conference that Oklahoma is going to play against other schools besides themselves, because that game will still be down in the SEC. But when you get Texas, you know, if Texas plays, Iowa State's a big deal now. You know, they're starting to get good. And you go, well, in a couple of years, this won't happen. It's going to feel a little awkward. But poor Bob Bowlesby, just grasping at straws right now just to see what he can do. What can he do? Where can he go? Well, I mean, seriously, where can he go? I mean, is he really going to sit back and go, all right, I better call Texas Tech just to make sure they're committed? Who's your marquee school now, besides Kansas and basketball? I'm talking on the football side of it. Who's your marquee? This is one of the great institutions of college football. This is a legacy power. They don't have one. They don't. They have schools that pop up every now and then and are good, but they don't have the traditional powerhouse. You know them. You love them. They've been around for decades. That kind of school. We don't have that. So who knows what's going to happen to it. You know what it is? Okay, I like analogies. You know how I like analogies. You know, like when a store is hanging on, right? You know, online sales are through the roof and they're hanging on. They're trying to sell you electronic equipment. And you go there and you're like, everything's a little overpriced. And like, I could get this much cheaper. I was in a bookstore once in New Jersey. There was a little bookstore in my town. And they were hanging on for dear life, man. Two guys that owned this thing. And they had been in the community a long time. And I hadn't lived in that town a long time. But, you know, people would say, oh, they had book club events and reading events. And they brought in these authors. And, you know, they did everything they could. The one thing that they would be, they would yell at you from across the store is if you brought your cell phone out. They were petrified of people bringing their cell phones out. So I remember my son was in there. We were looking for a book for school, and he brought out his phone to text a friend, you know, does it need to be hardback or cup, you know, what edition or whatever it was. As soon as he brought out his phone, they said, no cell phones allowed in the store. My son had to put the phone back. And I said, oh, by the way, why do you guys not allow the cell phones? And the guy told me flat out, he goes, because people take a picture of the book and then they go to Amazon and they buy it there. And I was like, well, that seems reasonable that you would not want to allow phones into the store. But then I realized what they were doing. They were just hanging on for dear life. And eventually it closed. But you know what they did before they closed? They sold everything. Everything was in the store. Come on down and get these books. Just give us, just take them. We're closed. That's the Big 12. The Big 12 is going to really try. They're really going to try. They're going to make phone calls. They're going to try to convince somebody to come there. But eventually West Virginia is going to call and go, I can't. And Baylor is going to call and go, yeah, I got this thing. Texas Tech will do the same thing. Iowa State will do the same thing. These schools will just go, I just, thanks, but they're offering me a huge, I mean, you should see what they're doing with their network and the media rights. I just, thanks, but I can't. And that's it. And that's how it works. It'll be like a going out of business sale. And all these teams will be up for grabs to the highest bidder. The ACC will come in and poach, right? That's it. That's the way it's going to be. All right, NBA draft tonight. The number one overall pick is going to be the Detroit Pistons. And they are not only likely to take Cade Cunningham out of Oklahoma State, they are very likely to take him. It is the odds this morning were 10,000 to 1. It means you have to lay $10,000 to win like 100, I guess, that Cade Cunningham was going to be the number one overall pick. Now, there's some people saying, well, you never know. Evan Mobley at a USC, the center out of USC, he could be the guy. He could be the big man that they take. But people are tending not to believe that Detroit will take Cade Cunningham, the 6'8 player from Oklahoma State. Jalen Green is the one that Houston is likely to take, the 6'6 guard. Now, he played in the G League. He forewent his college career and went right into the G League. And by the way, that train now stops, right? Don't we all agree that the people don't do that and they're not going to do that anymore? That now with name, image, and likeness, what's better, going to the G League or jumping into the, you know, becoming a, making some money while playing for Duke or Kentucky? If you didn't like college ball, you know, maybe you can still make money in the G League. If you're a young kid like Jalen Green and you've got a lot of, you're 19, at the time it was 18, and the whole basketball world was like, this is a top five pick in the NBA draft. Get him a year of seasoning and he's going to be a 20 plus scorer. Then he's going to make his money, right? I mean, here come the endorsements. Here comes the shoe deals. Here comes everything else just a little earlier. They're going to want to grab him quickly. But if you're a borderline person that doesn't want to go to college, doesn't want to play in college, and you're thinking about maybe I go to China for a year, maybe I go to Greece for a year, maybe I shoot threes in Paraguay, you're going to stay. You're going to go, why not? Just join a basketball team. I can make $1 million. Right? That's the way they go. Evan Mobley is expected to go 3 to Cleveland. And then after that, you got like the Gonzaga freshman, Jalen Suggs to Toronto. There's talks about James Bonite out of Connecticut going in the top 10. Same with Franz Wagner. He's a top 10 pick. The sophomore out of Michigan, the forward out of Michigan. So tonight, with the NBA draft, it's so different than, you know, the NFL has obviously trades and movement, but the NBA draft is where it really moves. In fact, if you cover an NBA draft or just watch it, you almost have to wait the next day. So like tonight, if you settle in to watch this, you'll see players come on the screen, however they're doing it this year. You'll see them on the screen and they'll talk about, you know, hey, I'm really excited to play for Orlando. Only 5 seconds after they say that, the Magic are like, yeah, we sent you off and now you're going to be playing for Memphis. Is that okay? Like, it's that quick. Remember in the old days before COVID, guys would be putting on hats. And as they were putting on hats, the report would be that particular player is not playing for the Celtics, but instead playing for someone else. That's like a common thread in the NBA draft. That happens all the time. You can't even enjoy the 2 seconds that your team has of a particular player before you realize they're gone and in a package deal. All right, coming up, Reggie Bush. Should he get his Heisman back? Well, the decision has been made. We'll talk about that coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, when you need auto parts, O'Reilly Auto is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com. Pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. You know, during breaks, I'm very busy during the show. I'm scouting Argentina and Spain for the U.S. men's basketball team. If they should ever run into these two juggernaut basketball powerhouses on their way to the gold medal, you got Marc Gasol on that court? What, Luis Scola's on that court for Argentina? Come on now. Ricky Rubio? It's going to be tough.
Pau Gasol?
Pau Gasol, did I say Marc Gasol?
Well, both Gasol brothers.
Both Gasol brothers are on the team. I'm sorry. It looked like Mark, the one I saw on the screen. Luis Scola, he looks like a fit 45-year-old that plays with like the 21-year-olds at the gym of your local like YMCA. Like, there's always that one guy that's like, hey, he's got a little gray hair, but man, he can ball a little bit. Kept himself in shape, right? Maybe taking some youthful looking things to make him look like he's a little younger. That's Luis Scola right now for Argentina. He's got a little gray in his hair, playing with the younger kids. But I don't really want to say younger kids. Some of these guys are probably old. It's probably the best team they could probably put together. A couple old NBA guys. Look at his gray hair on him. So this Greg Popovich is going to be shaking in his boots right now. It's 27-27 in the second quarter. Popovich must be like, I don't know how to stop this team. They're 3-for-7 from the three-point line. My God, what are we going to do? I guess I'll ask Kevin Durant to step up his game, I guess. I mean, look at that rebound he just pulled down. We're not going to be able to get that ball with the guys we have. That's crazy. So advanced scouting. Argentina and Spain. I love the Olympics. I don't like the Olympics on at this particular time. It's just, I don't know. I think the IOC needs to take me in consideration. Everything should be in the Western Hemisphere. You want to be in Brazil? Fine. That's cool. I don't mind. Buenos Aires? That's great. Mexico City? That's fine. Montreal? I don't care. But we ain't doing this, you know, don't do the whole crossing over the international dateline thing. I like it prime time, when I want to see it, live, good. I don't want to know what happened, all that good stuff. So, Reggie Bush, could he get his Heisman back? Well, no. They're not going to reverse the penalty because we're now in an age where name, image, and likeness is now dominating, and the 2005 Heisman Trophy had to be vacated because Reggie Bush got a house. It's too bad because I kind of want these awards and banners to go back up in sort of a recognition. I think I never thought that the whole "you didn't see what just happened here" thing ever really worked. And it's not saying that what Reggie Bush did at the time was right. Right. That's not, you don't get credit for robbing a bank just to show the bank you could rob it. Right. It's not how it works. Right. Same way. It's like, I can't hijack a plane to show the airline how easy it is to hijack a plane. Right. I hijacked a plane. I go to jail. Same thing with robbing a bank. Your excuse isn't, you know, I wanted to show you how lax your security was. No, you attempted to rob a bank. Bye bye. It's the same thing here. Back in the day, there was rules in place, and Reggie Bush broke them, and he had to pay the penalty. But I'm not asking for anything other than, let's acknowledge that his season, which had nothing to do with those rules, let's acknowledge that that season that he won the Heisman did exist, and he should at least get that. Right? So the NCAA, going back, yeah, should say, look, I'm sorry, but you broke the rule at the time. And you're not going to be reinstated as an eligible player. And the Heisman can stand on that. The Heisman Trust can say, well, he's now an invalidated player for that season. And because of that, we have to take the Heisman away. But what rule? The Heisman is its own thing. It makes its own rules. Can't it just say, you know, we're kind of tired of this too. Bush, come on over, get your Heisman Trophy back. Remember, they didn't give it to somebody else. He's not taking it away from the second place guy. That was just vacated that year. You look on the list, the 2005 season is no winner. It was Reggie Bush, but then it had to be taken away. And I want the Heisman to do the right thing here. Give it to him because as name, image, and likeness becomes more and more, you know, a part of our sports culture, right? Where the next generation is going to know nothing but college athletes making a ton of money. They are going to wonder why it was such a big deal and why it cost people these kind of valuable properties. It cost schools banners where their achievements were vacated, right, because of these kind of things. And we're going to look back and say, well, that was kind of silly. It wasn't really cheating in the way we think of cheating. Look, I think like for the home run record, right? Barry Bonds is the home run champion. That's it. I mean, there's no asterisk next to it, and there isn't going to be. Right. There was never an asterisk behind 61 home runs. I mean, that's just when Roger Maris hit it. That's just the way it is. I think the asterisk thing is something we as people and talk show hosts and media, we have to get off when we say, should there be an asterisk? No, use it so rare it almost doesn't exist. Because not everything we don't need to be reminded of every little minor detail when it comes to how these things were awarded. Right. If they were awarded, like we did this with the Lakers when they won the bubble championship, they're like, well, is there an asterisk next to this? Why would there be? Well, because no, the NBA set its parameters for what its playoff was going to be. They won that. They get to win it. That's it. There's no special circumstance behind it other than they won within the framework of the way the league designed its postseason. It was even more crazy when people were saying like, well, whoever wins the NBA championship this year, should there be an asterisk because of all the injuries? Like we've ever done that before in the history of sports. Oh, I can go through the record book, a whole bunch of championships and find, a whole bunch of asterisks. And next to them was so-and-so was sick in game 3. We don't do that. So as name, image, and likeness starts to get really integrated into the way we view college athletics, there will be a generation that will go back and say, okay, so how come this happened and this happened and this happened? And we'd have to explain why. Barry Bonds, for example, that you could make the case was cheating, right? That was cheating, even though that baseball did not have rules for testing at the time and whatnot sort of allowed it to take place. It was. It did affect the way he hit a golf ball. It did affect the way the game was played. And maybe in that setting, if you wanted to talk about why those numbers were so skewed at that time, why all of a sudden a whole bunch of people hit 60 home runs and then nobody did after a period of time, you would say in the history of Major League Baseball, this was going on in the 90s and the early 2000s. And you could put it in that framework. Reggie Bush, if somebody 50 years from now goes, yeah, I'm looking through the old Heisman winners and it looks here like 2005, nobody won. Why? And then you say, well, the player that won it at the time, you know, he broke some NCAA rules and his mom got a house and there was some real problem. And they go, well, don't they all get houses now? Oh, yeah, they do that. We realize the error of our ways and we allowed student athletes to pretty much take whatever they want now. And they were like, oh, so he can't get his award back? No, he can't. He broke the rule at the time. Well, it's not a rule now. No, it isn't. And that's the conversation we're going to have. But I also think in the end, like, again, this was just this rule that we broke just made him ineligible because he broke it wasn't like USC fudged his eligibility, like his grade, so he could play, right? It wasn't something along those lines. This was just, he got some benefits and he's not supposed to get benefits. And because he got benefits, that's the reason why he did so well in 2005, right? I mean, because his parents got a house, they were able to live rent-free there for a year. They were also given some cash. You know, all of that is directly correlated to how Reggie Bush dominated college football. I know it sounds stupid. It really is. It's too bad, too. I was really kind of hoping this would go his way. I don't know why I care so much. I love the Heisman. It's my favorite award. It's my favorite award that's given out. I like it because I think there's a way that the Heisman works. It's so different than other MVP awards. You know, it's very regional. The voting is interesting. People hang on to votes they probably shouldn't have. People have votes and they don't even watch college football. It's just it's such a bizarre way that this award is voted upon. But it's very special. It's very valuable. And I was kind of hoping Reggie Bush would get it. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, forgive me for not being on the musical end of this. What is this bit of music?
This is Idiotech by Radiohead.
Oh, okay. I should know Radiohead, but I don't know them as well. My friend was a big Radiohead fan. I know a number of their songs, but I don't know this one. I feel bad now. I should have known that. I thought you would tell me a name I didn't recognize, and I could be like, "Oh yeah, you kids and your music, bah." But no.
I guess it's a little hard to tell a Radiohead song by like just the instrumental.
Yeah.
You need a little Tom York.
Yeah. All right. There you go. You know, if you ever like, the other night, my wife was not feeling too well, and she said, you know, she goes, "I don't know what I want for dinner," and I said, "Don't worry, I'll make dinner." I said, "I'll do it." And she goes, I'll make spaghetti. I'll throw in some meatballs. I'll have that. So we got a box of spaghetti, and my wife, for some reason, bought this small box. They sell boxes of spaghetti where the spaghetti is like half a spaghetti. Like if you were to take a regular strain and break it in half. And she goes like, "Oh, I thought that would just be for me. And you know, you guys are always out." And I'm like, "Okay." So my son looked at that and went, "Ugh." He goes, "I have an idea, Dad. Let's make our own." So I have a pasta roller that I had in the garage in a box that I bought a while ago that I really didn't like using. I said, "Yeah, I've tried this. It's hard to..." He goes, "No, let's get it out." We made fresh pasta the other night, and now I can't eat boxed pasta anymore. It was delicious.
Well, you've seen the other side.
I have. Like, literally, we made the dough. We did the thing with the flour. We put the eggs in the center, made a well, put the eggs in the center, mixed it together, kneaded it, make all of those things, then broke it into pieces and rolled it out and then put it in the machine and made it flat sheets and then ran it through the cutter and then cut it and put it in the water. I have to break this thing out every time I want pasta now. It was phenomenal. I'm telling you, it is night and day. It is night and day. It's just tremendously messy. There's flour everywhere. But it was great. So I highly recommend it. So that's another one of my tips today. By the way, in keeping up with my scouting of the Spain-Argentina basketball game, Spain is really putting on a show right now. They are really going to be a threat. Their point guard, Ricky Rubio, has been fantastic. So just keep an eye out on him. Is he still in the league, Ricky Rubio, still with Minnesota?
Yeah, he's still hanging on. I think he's really playing out a contract.
I don't really hear about him anymore.
Well, he plays in Minnesota.
Well, I remember when he was a kid, he was like 18.
Yeah, he first got
in the league.
He was he had a little bit of the Luka hype before.
Oh, a lot of the Luka hype, yeah.
He was like a 13-year-old playing for Real Madrid or whatever.
Right, he was like a young teenager when he was making some international. Then he got into the NBA. And it was the same thing. And people were like, "This is the best point guard in the basketball right now. This guy is unbelievable." And he had a moment of time. He had a period of time where he was pretty good. And then he just kind of disappeared. So, but the United States better be watching this, because in case they run into one of these two teams on their way to the gold, it could be trouble.
Yeah, Lillard's going to have his hands full.
Yeah. By the way, how's your Drive to Survive marathon that you were on?
Oh, it's going well. I'm in the early 2020. I think it was just the Sochi race where Bottas, kind of bad teammate to Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, he could be a non-teammate at the end of this season. So
at the end of 21?
Yeah, right, at the end of this year.
Yeah, okay.
They could be announcing that in the summer break coming up. Oh. But I asked you this before. Now that you have a number of episodes since the 2 days that you have not been filling in for Ron, Don't you think that if you're Major League Baseball, this is something you would want to do?
Oh, 100%. Because right? It's hard for me, and we'll get to this. I think we'll either get to this later today or tomorrow, but it's hard for me to pick a team because there's so many characters on these different teams that I enjoy.
So J.J. Watt came out as a Formula One fan because he's watching Drive to Survive, which I thought was great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I even said, welcome to the club, J.J. It's been, you know, a lot of the – and little did I know that a number of his other football comrades – are also fans of the sport now because of Drive to Survive. But I would, if I could interview J.J. Watt, I would love to say, hey, look, J.J., I will tell you right now, you can come, we can talk Formula One all day long. I have no problems. I would love to do that. But I would ask him this. This is a guy that was featured predominantly in Hard Knocks. Remember when you probably remember you're in Houston.
Yeah, flipping tires.
Flipping tires, remember? And there was a little bit of, JJ, you want to do something? We got like he knew the cameras were on him, so he was doing some things to sort of showcase, you know, his work ethic and whatnot. He used the program as the program used him, right? But I would love to know, you had experience with Hard Knocks where they were in your training camp and they were there all the time. You'd go to practice, you'd walk out to see the fans, you would go to the locker room, they were in the meetings, all of those things. Would you like that? For regular season for 1 week while you prep to play the Seattle Seahawks, like week six. Because that's what these teams had to go through when the cameras were around. Every team got a period of time where they were being shadowed by these cameras. And they picked sometimes, you know, sometimes it, like two or three times during the season, and they picked some dramatic times to showcase. I don't know if NFL teams or Major League Baseball teams would be that willing to say, come in and see all of our dirty laundry as we prepared. But for whatever reason, this racing series had no problems doing that. But if you could, if Rob Manfred could convince baseball teams to do this, I think it would be a win-win. I think it would be a different way to see these athletes in a way that we're not seeing him now. We can complain all we want how Shohei Ohtani is hitting, playing in Anaheim, and most of America can't watch him play. But imagine if you had a show where one episode was all about Shohei Ohtani and the Angels and Mike Trout and everything, where you really got to know them, where you really got to see what they did and how they prepared and the conversations in the locker room. I think that would be a big deal. I think it would be cool. I mean, Hard Knocks is the closest thing we have in our major sports to something like that. And it's not, even then, it's not really that eye-opening. It's not really that detailed. I mean, I've criticized Hard Knocks a number of years because I think one of the problems with Hard Knocks is it just seems to follow the same script, mm-hmm. right? It seems to say, we have a formula that really works for us. We're going to show up at camp, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to tell you about the team, and we're going to tell you about the obstacles that they had last year and what they're looking forward to this year. But then we're going to find one quirky character that you're going to fall in love with, and you're going to wonder, does he make the team? Right? Who was it? Was it the player for Houston that likes like the Sox?
Yes, Charles James II. Charles,
that's right. Right? There's always one every year. They find one guy that you go, oh, I really like him. They give you his background. They show his parents. You know, they talk about his childhood, his upbringing, all of those things. And then you go, wow, is he going to make the team? Are they going to cut him? If they cut him, what's going to happen to him? That's what they're trying to do with that show. But then the formula goes, we're going to go to preseason games. We've told you about some of these guys. We're going to focus on some of these guys and focus on their performances. And then here comes the episode you've been waiting for, right? When the players get cut. But as I've said many times about that show, one of the problems is it's not a reality setting, right? Like if you were running that, you know, Temptation Island, Bachelor, all these kind of contest shows, they try to create drama for the show. But the NFL doesn't create drama in that room. Right? When on Hard Knocks have you ever seen a player get cut and he says to the coach, you know what? You're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. I will prove to you I can make it in this league, and gets up and throws something across the room, trashes out the table, flips over a chair. They have to get security to escort him out. He's yelling at the coaching staff while he's leaving the facility. How many times have you seen that on Hard Knocks? Zero. You know why? Because it's everybody's professional. Everybody's professional. The coach goes, hey, man, it's been great. You are a great player. It's just a numbers game with us. I'm so sorry, but you got to let go. And the guy always says, coach, man, it was an honor. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. Thank you. I really do appreciate it. And the guy says, let me know if I can do anything for you. Man, thank you. I really appreciate it. And then he leaves and he goes, yeah, it's tough. And then his agent's on the phone with other teams. That's how the league works. Right? That's how it works. It's never the dramatic reality show. But if you can give people a little insight, if you can take the camera, it's a different way of doing it. It's pretty cool. I like it. I don't know. It's one of those things. I love this year's Hard Knocks, by the way. I'm kind of excited.
Jerry Jones, Jerry Jones show. Think,
you know why I'm looking forward to this? Because I think Hard Knocks hit a home run by picking the Cowboys, right? Because, oh, by the way, Dak Prescott has got a strained shoulder muscle. He's now day-to-day in terms of working out.
Yeah, that's an episode right there.
Right, it's an episode right there. Already out of the gate in Oxnard, California, Dak Prescott's got a shoulder injury. But I think you got an aging Jerry Jones who knows, like, hey, man, you know, the end is coming sooner than you know, and I need a Super Bowl. And he's got a team that, if healthy, should be in competition for a good playoff run. I don't know about Super Bowl, but who knows, right? Ball may bounce their way. But you know something is missing, and you just go to these Hard Knocks to see kind of how they're going to talk about it. Now, I do have to say, I think, and this is more me than anybody else, because I know a lot of America is sick of this story, but I would have been kind of curious. I think Jacksonville would have been cool with Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer, and then Tebow trying to make the team. I think you could have really made a case for Jacksonville as a good Hard Knocks episode, especially Tebow. Gardner Minshew was asked about Tebow the other day, and he said, he goes, this guy's phenomenal. Not as a tight end, but he's saying the guy works his tail off. And I like that, but I also hate that, because you don't get jobs because you work your tail off. You get jobs because you're excellent at it. Like, would you take a guy that can't play a position that works his tail off rather than a Pro Bowler who's lazy but was really good on game day? Like, what decision would you make? Like, if I got a guy, he shows up every day early, he sits in meetings, he does, I mean, he just goes out to practice, he tries it over and over and over and over and over again until he gets it right, still really raw, but man, I love his work ethic. Or would you rather go, got a Pro Bowler here, yeah, his work ethic's iffy, but man, he's great. Gives us, you know, 15 touchdowns a year, blocks, does everything we ask him to do. I don't know. It's a tough decision if you're Urban Meyer. They would have been a great Hard Knocks episode. All right, we'll wrap up the hour. Get yourself at the Jake Asman Show coming up as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along with Wake Up Call. Sean and I were just saying how when we were in school, we knew a lot about sports and, like, trivia teams, you know, like trivia contests. We used to do Trivial Pursuit. That was an old 80s game. I know it's still around, but it was a big deal in the 80s. And we'd have Winter Carnival. We'd have Trivial Pursuit. And so you'd be creating these teams of, you know, for history and arts and literature and entertainment, geography. And there was a sports and leisure category. And I used to get recruited, even by the upperclassmen. I used to get recruited by, you know, to be on their team. They're like, can we just bend the rules and have Tony, who's in ninth grade, be on the 11th grade team? And so I kind of was known in school as the sports guy. I knew all the stats and all the numbers. But we both determined that women just weren't impressed with that whatsoever. Not at all. Like, it just was not, it was not a quality that it would made you a very attractive.
If anything, it's a weakness on the scouting report.
I know, right? Exactly. I kid a lot. I've been in this business 30 years, and I tell people all the time, there's no sports radio groupies. Let me make this very, very clear. Do not. In fact, if you tell people you do this for a living, like I've been in this business a long time. The guys love it. The guys, it's like their dream job, right? They're working somewhere else. They go, oh my God, I'd love to do. Women are like, nah, I would hate to have you around my house. Ugh, God, that's all you do is watch sports and talk sports all day. Get out of here. Right? Like my son is going to school. He wants to be a doctor. Right? I remember I've told like some people about this. And then one of the things they tell me is like, well, you know, my daughter's available. And I'm like, really? That still works? Like he's not even in med school yet. Like, he's got a long way to go. And that's still a thing? Like, my goodness.
No one did that when I would tell people that I'm a journalism major. No one can I set you up with my daughter?
It does not work that way. If anything, the woman goes, well, I guess I might have to get a really good profession.
Does your family have money or something?
Right, exactly. Oh, gosh. Oh, those early days, when I was in high school, I was a terrible basketball player. I'm atrocious basketball. To this day, I'm atrocious basketball. I tried, man. I really tried. But I wasn't good at it, and I learned to accept it. So I couldn't make the basketball team. And I went to a small school where really just about everybody makes everything. But I used to get cut. I was not very good. But that's okay. I was totally cool with it. But all my buddies that I played the other sports with, they were on the basketball team. So I became like I wanted to do play-by-play, and I knew it that I wanted to do that. I've known that I wanted to do that since I was a kid. So I became the team's play-by-play announcer into the coach's tape. And I remember, like, the local TV, local cable news channel would come to my school, and I was on the halftime, and I got to know, you know, those guys, and I got to know the people in my city that did games. And so I was a, you know, young, up-and-coming broadcasting star. Nothing on the dating end that impressed me. I was on television, for crying out loud. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. They say you put a grapefruit on TV, and people would go, that's the grapefruit that's on TV. I was actually on TV, and people were like, ugh, Tony. That's all he does is talk sports.
No thanks.
Kind of annoying. No thanks. Get away from him. Ugh, yuck. All right, not yuck. Jake Asman's coming up next as we continue on Sports Map Radio. We'll see you tomorrow.